Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
One of the great sales in all of Memphis is ongoing right now. It's the Black Friday sale at Robert Irwin Jewelers. It's a tradition, and it's also a sale that means you can buy gifts that give gifts. Robert Irwin Jewelers' annual Black Friday sale means that with every purchase of $299 or more, you can get a free gift in return. For example, you can get the 1/5 carat diamond hoop earrings in 10 carat white gold for $549 and get a free pair of JBL noise-canceling headphones. They also have the Flexi Diamond Bangle bracelets. These bracelets are flexible and contour to fit her wrist. You can wear one or stack a few for a bolder look, which makes the perfect gift for her. If you spend $999, you can get a free Nintendo Switch. It's also a great time to buy your engagement ring. Of course, the holidays is one of the number one times for engagements. Spend $49.99 or more on your engagement ring. Get a free 85-inch smart TV. You can also do what I did with the engagement ring. You can customize your engagement ring, get a never-worn ring before. You can do something as simple as taking a few pictures that, let's just say, your prospective fiance has maybe hinted at she would like for her engagement ring to look like. You go in, you pick your diamond, and you come out with a brand new ring that's never been worn before. It's the most stress-free environment that I can possibly recommend, especially from someone who had no idea what he was doing in there. Free financing, bigger, brighter diamonds, all at better prices, 5 locations, Robert Irwin Jewelers, or feel free to shop online at rijewelers.com. We'll talk some more action from Week 11 in the NFL, but now let's get into the list. Inside the NBA. Yes, so we got the big news, I believe, from the Wall Street Journal. And I want to say it came yesterday. I want to double check. The inside the NBA team of Ernie Johnson, Kenny Smith, Charles Barkley, and Shaquille O'Neal is apparently sticking around in a surprise deal with ESPN. Joe Flint of the Wall Street Journal reported Saturday that Warner Brothers Discovery has reached a deal with Disney to license inside the NBA to ESPN and ABC starting next season, in return for a package of sub-licensed Big 12 college football and basketball games that will air on TNT and Max. According to Sports Media Watch, the deal will apparently ensure not only that the TNT crew continues working together past the season, but that it will be for the first time, handle the NBA Finals. The agreement would resolve one of the biggest challenges ESPN has faced in its two-decade run carrying the NBA, that of assembling a quality studio team. Beyond the fact that ESPN's NBA studio could never measure up to that of TNT, a problem NBC faced in the final years of its run as well, the network could never even establish a consistent studio lineup. Inside the NBA has aired for as long as TNT has carried the NBA, but it took on its current form in 2000 when Barkley joined the existing cast of Ernie Johnson and Kenny the Jet Smith. The trio quickly became one of the most acclaimed in all sports television, with O'Neal joining in 2011. So overall, I view this as two thumbs way up. So the actual dates So it'll remain on TNT this year because the TNT's finishing out the their tenure with the last year of the TV deal. My fear was what makes that show the best studio show really that there is in all sports is the fact that no one, like, there's, you can tell there's not a really, like, a ton of oversight. It's, we trust these guys, we pay these guys, let them go do their own show, and that's what makes it work. My fear was, when it breaks up, Ernie made it very clear at his age, he didn't really want to leave Turner, didn't want to leave Atlanta. Like, that's, at his age, like, that was a reasonable thing to think. And so, trying to break it up, my big fear was that ESPN's going to have the deepest pockets and that ESPN was going to go and hire away bits and pieces of it. But anytime you watch an ESPN studio show, you're always left just going, ugh. Because it always feels like it's like a checklist thing. It's like this person has to get his or her stuff in. Then that person does. And it just, it never works. This is the best for all parties because TNT will operate the thing the way that they've always done. And basically, it's just going to be on ESPN. And to me, that way you keep the whole group together, and I'm not worried about, all right, someone's going to get their fingerprints on them. And this is also something that ESPN is now, like, I think you have to say it's starting to become somewhat of a strategy for them if it starts back with, like, McAfee, which is, all right, we don't really, we're not really in the business anymore of building our own stars. We're going to go buy the stars, let them run it their way, and they're going to be on our network. And this is, to me, a similar approach to that. And the main thing is we get all the guys back together.
No, that's a huge win because I think anyone who loves basketball, I don't care if they was on Lifetime, that is most people's favorite segment of the NBA, those four guys.
I think there's plenty of people during the season, they don't even watch the games, they just watch that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They wanted to hear Chuck and Ernie and Kenny. And when Shaq came on, and my biggest fear, like you said, was I know I didn't realize it was just because of moving purposes, but I heard if they ever was going to go individually, they didn't because Ernie said that he couldn't leave Turner Sports, so right. He just wasn't.
He basically said, I'm a lifer. His dad even worked there. He's I'm a lifer. Like, this is, I just don't have any interest going to work for someone else, which I kind of respect.
Yeah, I just think the crew, I just think it's a lot they say he didn't want to do it. Yep. And then I feel like the other guys, even though everyone loves money, I don't think no one really need money on this show. I think maybe Kenny would love to make more money, but I don't think Barkley or Shaq.
We never know with what Charles spends. You know what I mean?
But hey, his new contract was still. He can't outspend that, right? His new contract.
That sounds like a challenge for Chuck. That's just more money to gamble.
I thought it was 20 a year.
I think it's 20. That's 20 plus a year. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm sure he can't spend more than $1 million a month. But. So,
where there's a will, there's a way.
For sure. So I was figuring when I heard this, and I thank you for clearing it up. I was like, well, when I said about the money, back to that. I know Shaq and Chuck had pretty much said Ernie not a part of it. They wasn't going to do it. And, of course, I think Kenny's a team player. Yes. Even though I think Kenny probably would like more money. Say all that to say, it sounds like you cleared it up because I was like, oh, did ESPN or ABC steal them? I didn't realize that it was still going to be ran. So it's a double thumbs up for me now. I thought that I've been thinking all night. I just saw it yesterday. So I've been thinking all night, like, did – Ernie finally.
Yeah, he changed his mind. No,
his mind and go with the crew and not want to let them down. Like, what is going on? So, no, the way you said it, I think basketball needs that, and I'm glad they was able to work it out.
I can't, like, the closest thing that I can compare it to for the younger people, it really is like when you and I were growing up and you had your appointment Sports Center crew. Like, whether it was Stuart Scott and Rich Eisen, whether it was Dan Patrick and Overman or Dan Patrick with Kenny Mayne, I'm trying to think of, like, all the other ones. But, like, when you had your crew on, like, that was, you watched that. Mm-hmm. It's the closest thing we have in this day and age of, because I think there are legitimately plenty of people that just watch the show and don't even really watch the games, especially during, like, the doldrums of the season where the games don't really matter. But to me, like, this is the best solution for all parties because it'll keep the magic. ESPN, I think they've proven with McAfee, like, even when people start to complain and whatnot, they don't really. I mean, they had the Rogers issue when Rogers was saying Kimmel was on the Epstein list, and so basically they're like, hey, maybe don't let Rogers on for a little bit, but he's back. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, I've never seen the McAfee show be like, okay, well, he can't say that. Like, he's basically said whatever he thinks whenever he wants. And so my big fear was that someone was going to try to scoop up Chuck and then water down Chuck.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the magic, like you said, the magic is all of them together. No. It's like you feel like you get to tune in to like three of the greatest basketball players, basketball minds, and then you just listen to them watch basketball.
Yeah, with Ernie. And it's
correct.
And it's crazy because it's like the two stable guys will make it perfect. Or sits in the middle. And the two unstable guys.
And it's almost like it's perfect.
With Shaq.
Correct.
And Chuck. And then Shaq is the first person that can challenge Chuck. And Chuck don't bow down either. So Chuck can challenge
Shaq. I think that's half the time Chuck writes lines for Shaq.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. Like, it's like, hey, say this about me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm convinced, like, off the air, that's about half the time it's what happens.
No, and you're right. ESPN is smart. It's almost like we run the gym, right? And we throw a lot of our own tournaments. But a lot of days, I'm going to be real, like what we just did this weekend, Jeff, we have somebody else to rent our gym out.
Yeah.
And it's actually more rewarding because at that point, we're only responsible for the concession stand.
Yeah.
We still getting the same blood. The gym is making his goal sometime. And we're actually doing less work and more super. And everybody wins in the case instead of us. Coming with all the ribs, coming out of this, coming out of that. And I think this is similar. And then with Pat, I was kind of confused because unlike other ESPN, Pat McAfee looked like he get to say what he want last. So
absolutely.
I didn't know it was like you say they kind of brought him. Because I knew he was big, but over the last couple years, I've been like, who is this guy that just been controlling everything and able to say what he wanted, has had his own show and blew up. And I did some research. I know he was real big.
Yeah.
Social media had, I think, 100 million, somebody said, YouTube follow, I don't know, or some big number subscriber. So, and like you say, he say what he want. Was they just playing about this? Because sometimes social media, didn't he say something about Kalen that people thought he would get in trouble or that was fake or whatever? Something.
What did he say?
But he was giving her props. He was like, that's a code,
Yeah,
the B word, well, maybe, or whatever.
Yes.
Because he apologized for it. I think he did say
But he was also, like, that was the other, like, everyone is just so stupid. He was quoting someone that used, that bitch is cold, or something like that.
Somebody said that,
and he quoted it.
Oh, okay.
And then, like, it's just the, like,
yeah. Yeah, I just saw everybody went crazy, said, like, he said it, and then I think he had to come back and apologize for it. And I was like, oh, he must really got clout over there. He never got suspended or anything.
Yeah, I also think, we hit a saturation point of trying to hall monitor everything everyone says, particularly when it's like what you and I are doing. Like, it's not like we have a script here.
Mm-hmm.
We're just riffing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think there was kind of a turning point of everyone being like, guys, we can't get a transcript and go through every single word. Like, what was the intention? I do think we kind of turned a corner there, which I view to be a good thing. But to me, the bigger thing, though, is that, like, so that's the other thing. So the ESPN countdown and all like that is apparently sticking around, but it's like, so what is the format going to be? Like, are they going to still have their own, like, I don't know if they're going to incorporate it, but I would suspect that maybe the ESPN roster is about to start shrinking.
They do that now. They have their days where they clean up a little bit.
My suspicion is that might be.
And ESPN on ABC now too?
ABC owns ESPN
too. Other way around. Oh,
but then they spun it up. Excuse me. Disney owns ABC and ESPN.
Okay.
And Disney has spun off ESPN for its own financial, like, they've broken it off and made it its own financial entity that has to report its own, like, how ESPN itself does rather than ESPN ABC together.
Okay.
But it's like the classic, this company's way too big moment. Tom Herman. Yeah. Turns out we might have had a monumental game between Temple and FAU. Temple wins the game and also fires their coach. FAU loses and fires their coach. I'm not sure we've ever had a game where both coaches got fired in the middle of a season.
Why did Temple fire their coach? I need a little more.
So Stan Drayton got fired because, A, that job needs to start getting considered for one of the worst jobs in the country.
Okay.
But in the end, it's like you're 6-25.
But why in the middle of the year, though, if he won? Why we couldn't?
Your guess is as good as mine. Why so that maybe Temple could get ahead of the coaching carousel?
Like, well, never high school coaches, whoever wins.
Yeah, like, never discount never discount athletic department's ability to do something that makes absolutely no sense. But we did find out on Monday that the school announced, FAU has announced that they have fired Tom Herman. He was 6-16 during these two seasons, and they're 0-6 in the AAC, currently on a 5-game losing streak. There was also a fun note that I saw from Chris Vanini about how FAU works. This was on Twitter. FAU's coaching contracts have a weird buyout where you get reassigned to a non-coaching role and can quit that job for a small buyout. Herman's memorandum of understanding had it too. Willie Taggart was reassigned to facilities management when he was fired, and he includes this. Dear Coach Taggart, this letter serves as your notice of reassignment to a non-coaching position at FAU, pursuant to Section 9B1C of your head coaching agreement. That's a new level of broke, right? Like, instead of just being like, here's the buyout money, like, we have to at least pretend that you have a job. Although maybe it might be genius. You reassign them, and then the guy's like, I don't want to do management facilities. And then all of a sudden, it's like they agree to a smaller buyout than what they should have gotten. Like, it's, I think, like, in a weird way, it's genius. It also just shows, like, they have absolutely no money.
Yeah, that's different. I don't know what to say. I never heard of that. Do the head coaches or the agent or their lawyers explain that at the beginning?
I mean, they sign it. So, yeah, I would assume. But, like, I guess it's just one of those things where it's like when you're negotiating with FAU, like, let's be real. When you take the FAU job, you're not expecting to get the buyout because you're thinking, I'm taking this job and I'm going to parlay it into another one. Like, that's kind of like, I would think
you might be on one leg to take it anyway. Right. So it ain't like.
Right. Herman was like out of coaching.
Yeah. Because when you said his name, that sounds familiar.
He was the guy that was at Texas. So he had the Houston job with Ed Oliver. Then he parlayed that into the Texas job. Yeah, and there was like a bidding war between LSU and Texas one night. I remember that. And he had like one good season where they went to like a Sugar Bowl. Mm-hmm. And then they beat like a lifeless Georgia.
I remember.
But then that didn't work. And then he took FAU, and most people kind of thought like, oh, that's kind of a good spot. They thought it was the same formula as Kiffin back at FAU, which is, all right, offensive guy, youngish, like he needs to kind of reload and like rebuild his career, will be that platform for him. But the problem was they went from, when Kiffin did it, they were in Conference USA. Now they're in the AAC, and what we can clearly tell in the AAC is, like, man, the former CUSA schools are really struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just been really, really difficult for them. And, like, now you're in that situation where in South Florida, you have Miami, which is, like, spending big, mm-hmm. and you've got Florida State, which was spending big, and Florida's trying to get into it. Mm-hmm. I just think, like, once upon a time, those kind of the commuter Florida schools were thought of like, hey man, this is a good spot. You can get some talent, maybe some talent that can't get in elsewhere and whatnot. Like, whenever you see like Antonio Brown went to FIU, how did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
My favorite is just always go look at the grades. Like, go look at grades or ACT score. It's like 15. It's like, yes, that's how Antonio Brown got there. But like, that was viewed as like a spot. Hey man, we have access to great players and we can build that way. But now, then it's like, everyone figures out how to get those guys in now. And now the recruiting has just become so transactional. It's like, what are you paying me? I just think these jobs are like going to end up being really difficult.
No. You're right. Because the guy that had it before him, he did pretty good. It's like they get the coaches, too, who was great at one point.
Right.
And need to get.
Well, I think they got Taggart. They got Taggart post FSU.
Post FSU.
Yes. But where was Willie before Oregon?
He was somewhere
else. Western Kentucky, maybe?
Yeah, and he did good. Now that you mention this, Jeff, have you ever thought about this? Because your mind be spinning, and you always bring me scenarios, right? You want me to tell you one job that people treated like a stepping stone, and I never got it. It's a job I would have stayed at 30 years, even before they was in the Big Ten. Think of every coach that have left it, they have not done better in it. But when they was there, they was my Oregon.
100% agree with you.
From Jim Kelly, people are out of coaching who left that job.
Mark Helfrich. Chip.
Yeah, and even my guy, now that they moved to the Big Ten, the Big Ten is like, okay, you're killing with Miami, Cristobal, I love it, but it's like, you're still not number one in the nation. Like, everybody was treating it, and I thought it was always a great job for the last 15, 20 years or whatever.
So, if you are viewing it solely as a coaching job, 100% correct. Mario's problem is, I hope everybody's sitting down for this, the Cuban devout Catholic from Miami doesn't really mesh well with the culture of Eugene, Oregon and the people. And so I think what happens is you get there and you're like, this is an unbelievable job. Like, I just call Uncle Phil up. I get any player I want. But if you're from, like, it's a different world, man. It's very granola. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and if you're not from that, I can see where you're unhappy.
I see Cristobal going to Miami because he's an alumni. But
Willie,
I think he should have stayed there forever. If I'm saying his name right,
made the mistake of. I think there's a real question of how good's the Florida State job, and it's clearly not a bad job. But we've also seen, like, hey man, it can go really wrong there, and I think Taggart just made the mistake of. I think he fell into the category of very much wanting to be back in the South.
But people do say as far as west as you can go north.
And then Taggart made the mistake of he should have done the move when he got there. He should have been like, y'all, it's bad. Like, the talent's bad, whatnot. Taggart kind of tried to sell it as, hey, Jimbo, you know, we're going to build on what was left with Jimbo, even though, like, Jimbo had stopped recruiting offensive linemen for, like, multiple years. And so he did the move where he set the expectations too high, and it was a bigger rebuild than he gave it credit. And like we're seeing with Mike, the outlier might be the year that Jordan Travis was a senior. I mean, Mike has more losing seasons than winning seasons at Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
And the same way that Tiger fans kind of feel about Ryan, which is like, eh. Kind of how FSU feels about Mike.
Yeah, I don't even think, Coach, I might be taking it too far. Granted, he got an NFL job. Man, I don't think Chip Kelly should ever left. I think he would be a legend. And now that then, I don't think people saw that they was going to the Big Ten and all that, because now everybody would stay there. You know what I mean?
Especially when you consider the parts of football that Chip doesn't like, which is the recruiting and the constant having to be on. That is handled at Oregon.
Now he's an assistant. Another good job. Assistant coach at Ohio State.
Now, he is. I do think it was kind of a genius move. He didn't want to deal with being head coach anymore. He goes and he coaches. He's coaching for one of his former players in Ryan Day. And Ryan Day, like, it is funny. Even when somebody was your coach, even like when you get into a position where you're technically the boss, there's still that weird dynamic of, it's still my coach. Yeah. And there's like a deferential treatment. And so for Kelly, it makes all the sense in the world. Because really all he wants to do is like call ball plays. And he doesn't really want to do anything else. And Day's in this position of, I have to win big this year. So he's willing to do anything. It's like, all right, handle play calling. Handle all that. Like, you got it, coach. But I'm with you. The only thing is, I don't know, how much did the Eagles pay him? Because there is always that one thing of like, all right, let's see if this works in the NFL. And I think people forget. For like 11 weeks, it was awesome.
No. Yeah.
When Vic got in there, and like that first night, I think it was a Monday night game against the then Redskins, It was like a Monday night game. And you're like, oh my God, they just changed football. Because it looked like Michael Vick on a video game. Like, it was just like, this is awesome. And then, like most things in the NFL, people adjust to it. But I'm with you. I think and it's interesting now that you mentioned, though, I still don't buy that Dan Lanning could have had the Alabama job. But let's say his side of the story is true, which is everybody knew the Bama job was coming open. I made the decision to stay at Oregon. You can add it up and say, well, that's largely based on I get anybody I want. I'm recruiting at the highest level. Honestly, I think what we're seeing in the Big Ten, like, look at it. They have, I think they had four of the top five in the playoff rankings, but no other teams are ranked. And, like, you look at the whole league, it's like the good teams are good, and then everybody else, they beat all the bad teams. Like, you don't really have to do the I'm at Oregon and go play the equivalent of I got to go play at Tiger Stadium against a team that's going to go 8-4, but they've still got all the talent in the world. Like, all right, I basically have to get ready for about three games all year.
Yeah, that's how I look. And then flip back for a second on Chip Kelly, coach. Once he left NFL, now you are in football rise at the Little Brothers of Oregon. You come back in the lead and at a less superior job at UCLA. Now, he might have been a little miserable, but let me tell you this. I get that he playing for his player and get special. I have never seen this before. He left millions on the table. Like, he's getting paid one or two, but I think he was getting paid like four or five there. So most people don't do that. Okay, he left millions on the table. He still have a little less control. I mean, it's still.
You're still not losing
to Oregon. And Oregon is still the best team in the new Big Ten over the great Ohio State.
Yeah. It was also, though, because remember, that was the other thing. I can't remember if it was last year or the year before. There were reports that he was fired.
I think I heard that for us.
Like, reports, not like, oh, he's going to get, not like we did with Billy Napier, which is like, oh, that guy's dead man walking. Mm-hmm. Like, it was reported that he was fired. He ends up winning a couple of games late, and they're like, I guess we're keeping you? And so he did the move of, all right, the Sharks are swimming. Year one in the Big Ten. Although, it hasn't been terrible for UCLA, but it's...
I mean, they had to get a coach late, too.
Right, and you also, it's like, I'm going to get out now before they get me. But I'm with you. I do think the Oregon... I think that's the other thing. It's like, to be careful. It's like, maybe don't buy into that the Oregon coach is something special. Because I think you're going to see a lot of coaches that would... Man, he was great at Oregon. I wonder why.
Yeah.
Jeez. No way. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk some NFL. Herds, Niners, they got Christian McCaffrey back, but, whoo boy. We had the big game with the Bills. Joe Burrow set a new record for 300-yard passing games with no picks and still more losses. We'll get into the NFL when we come back. Right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Big news at Zen Sports. They have launched the Big Game Sweepstakes. The Big Game Sweepstakes is exclusive to Tennessee, where one customer will win a grand prize of two VIP tickets, tailgates, parties, and hotel stay for Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans. It's a prize value of over $21,000, or you can win $10,000 cash. And what's more is that Zen Sports is also awarding 50 additional prizes, which include two tickets to any sporting event in Tennessee or $100 cash. Customers will earn one entry for every bet made this month, one entry for every dollar made this month, and two times the entries for every parlay made. The contest drawing will take place on December the 3rd. Also, if you want to sign up using my promo code for Zen Sports, you can sign up with JeffTN, J-E-F-F-T-N, and you'll receive an additional 25% odds boost when you sign up with the code JeffTN. Start betting with Zen Sports. Download the app today. Zen Sports. Betting just got better. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789. All right, Herd, I got to get your thoughts. So we had week 11 of the NFL. To me, the big headlines are, number one, the Steelers have been disrespected. Because here they are sitting at now, I guess, is it 8-2? Because I think they were 7-2 coming in. So they're sitting here at 8-2. They defeat the Super Bowl favorites, which drives me insane. Nobody gets crowned in the NFL like the Ravens. We do it every single year. At some point, everyone declares the Ravens are the greatest team, and then they inevitably, they're not even going to win the division. They're two games back in the division, and it certainly looked like Tomlin and the boys took that personally. But, again, I keep waiting for someone to use the same standard. Like, I feel like we nitpick the Bills in the way that we should be nitpicking the Ravens. But we get the headline of the Steelers winning that game. Then in the afternoon, we have the Bills giving the Chiefs their first loss of the year. Also buried in that window, though, because we got to talk it out. I keep waiting in the back of my mind for the Niners to kind of get it together. I was waiting for, all right, when McCaffrey comes back. I think you would agree with me. Even though they beat the Bucks, that wasn't like the, oh yeah, Christian's back, it's fixed. And then yesterday, I don't know, where are you? Because even at times when McCaffrey still looks explosive, it just doesn't look right. And the thing is, if you would have told me the Niners are not going to look right at this point in the season, I would have said it's going to probably be because Brock's not that good. Brock's been pretty damn good. Like, I don't really feel like he's the problem. But, like, what is it that's just not working? Because I keep holding in the back of my mind, they're going to get it together, they're going to get it together, they're going to get together. And then every week, they just kind of look the exact same. It's not a bad team. Like, there's parts where you're like, okay. And they've obviously had some injuries, but everybody has injuries. Where are you?
Well, Jeff, I think we're going to go to the playoff and make a decent run. And with it, the NFL moving into an extra week years ago and buying stuff like that.
The extra team.
That's the only thing that gives me kind of hope. I told you this early on. You're like, here it is, okay. I don't really like when people in professional sports, like, especially with football too, when, like, I think you got to be playing good ball at the right time. And I feel like on one hand, we know we got the talent, but two, I just think we've been playing above average for most of the year. And it's no complete answer for one way or the other. Granted, we have had, you know, multiple injuries and things of that nature. But I do feel like we have to pick it up, Jeff. I feel like we're just not, you know, like even yesterday. And it was too many games. You know, the Hurricanes, my football team. But it has been too many games like that where we just have lost the game by 2 or 3 points at the end of the game, and it's just unnecessary. And I just think good teams, great teams who want to make a deep run at the Super Bowl have to figure that out.
Yeah. The good news is they're still only a game back, and the team you're chasing is the Cardinals. And even though the Cardinals did beat the Niners, it's still like, okay, everybody's still there. You still have two divisional games, but it's like the rest of the way, it's like you still have the Packers, you still have the Bills, thankfully you have the Bears. You're going to get the Rams at home, at the Dolphins, Lions, and then at the Cardinals. It does feel like it's shaping up, though. I think maybe the Niners are going to be like where the Bills were last year at this point, where, okay, you know it doesn't look right, but I still kind of think I might take them to win the West. It feels like it's going to come down to that Cardinals game at the end of the year. It's at Arizona, but I still think, because like Pearsall's coming on looking pretty good. Debo at some point is going to be healthy, I think, maybe. But like McCaffrey still, he doesn't look like peak of his powers, but he still looks good enough. Like, there was a run yesterday. I was like, okay, that's the burst. We haven't really seen that in a while, so that was good. But I don't know. It's just, I felt like it was just another like classic. I'm frustrated. I'm like, I'm waiting for them to show me that. Like, I'm like, there it is. And I know there was no Kittle yesterday, whatnot. All right, now let's get to what I think is fascinating. The Chiefs lose to the Bills yesterday, and it was obvious to me, like, that game meant a lot more to the Bills than it did to the Chiefs. I'm not saying that the Chiefs didn't show up, but, like, you could just sense it's a home game for the Bills. They treated that like it was a playoff game. They clearly have so much frustration against the Chiefs, and it was like an exorcism. But the other thing that kind of stood out to me was, man, like, one team clearly looked better than the other, and we can kind of do this in the NFL where we start maybe putting too much stock into one week versus another. I just keep wondering, man, if, like, I don't want to declare the Chiefs dead because I know that that's a dangerous thing, but I think this idea that they're going to cakewalk to the Super Bowl again, there's just something about it that doesn't look right. Like, even when they were 9-0, like, they were 9-0 with a 49-point differential, which is like the lowest ever for an undefeated team. It's just, I don't know, man. It's like they've been begging to get beat, and then finally they do yesterday. But then I started to think like this. Could that have been good for them? All right, you get popped in the mouth. Like, you've been playing with fire and you haven't gotten burned. Like, you pointed out this when the Hurricanes were playing with their food way too much, and then finally Tech pops them. I think it's possible, like, you'll find out, like, that might have been a loss they needed. All right, you can figure out, like, we'll see how the rest of the season plays out, but you can't just fart around like that, and you'll pay the price. But, man, that offense is just, like, it's not explosive, and I get why it's not explosive. Teams don't want it to be explosive. You don't give them, you're not going to leave a bunch of one-on-ones, but it's almost like, does having no receivers finally catch up to them? And they don't have Pacheco, so they're not running the ball as well. Like, they're trying to run the ball with the ghost of Kareem Hunt. It's like, I get that there are other reasons for it, but I just kind of find myself wondering, is like, there's a reason why nobody's won 3 straight Super Bowls.
Yeah. They're not dead, you know.
No, for sure.
Yeah, they're not dead. And, like, I know you say a lot on here, you do got to give people credit for constantly winning.
Yes.
You know, no matter how it looked, but, even though if they're playing with fire. I do still think, though, they're going to have a chance to make a run in the playoffs. I just, and you're better and I'm not, but if I was, I actually would put bet a lot on them until they showed me otherwise or whatever. I would probably bet on them to be a favorite at worst to make the AFC championship game.
I don't even know. Like, now, so we are in the point where the Lions have moved to the Super Bowl favorite. It's the first time ever for the Lions. I still can't believe Doug Peterson hasn't been fired. I would have thought after, like, yesterday, like, okay, well, that's, like, he'll be fired today.
From Eagles?
The Jags. He's at the Jags now.
I've been saying, because Eagles doing good now.
No, the Sirianni, yeah.
Sarah, you remember earlier in the year that was on his.
Yes.
You talking about the Jags guy that used to be.
At Philly. Won the Super Bowl, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's looking for you. Okay. Yeah, because they got killed by the Lions.
52-6. The Lions scored on 7 straight possessions to start the game. touchdowns, not scored. Scored touchdowns.
So he got them back relevant a couple years ago.
They won a playoff game against Herbert, blew like a 4-touchdown lead.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor, I think, threw like 4 picks in the first half. They came back. They won that. Then they had kind of like the respectable loss against the Chiefs. And then last year, they started 8-3. And I think since then, they're like 3-17.
And do you think that's mainly, you know, because I know the coach got to take the blame. Do you think that's mainly because of the coach? Because I thought he had kind of had, they were down, for, you know, it's the Jaguars, so they have years.
Do you remember your boy Trent Baalke that got into it with Harbaugh and he won the power struggle against Harbaugh with the Niners?
Okay.
He's now the roster guy. Mm. I'm not a fan of his work.
Mm-mm.
Like, because in the end, probably should have kept Harbaugh.
For sure.
I mean, I think we're seeing that. Like, the guy knows how to win. Now, it's worked out for the Niners. Like, it's not like Kyle's been bad, but that's kind of the other thing. It's like, now we're going on to the Niners are dead, close the window on them. It's like, the only problem I have with that is it closes the door on retooling. And it's like, one thing Lynch and Shanahan have been good at is like, all right, they lose a guy here, lose a guy there. They kind of retool and they find guys. Like, Ricky Pearsall is like the perfect example. Like, they find a guy like that they can use, and like they just kind of figure it out. The question will be, what are they going to have to pay Brock? Is Brock going to take a hometown? Like, is he willing to, like, is there a number where they're both going to be satisfied? Or, like, if you're Brock Purdy, you're sitting there going, like, I'm in. I'm a free agent.
I'm going to be real. As good as Brock Purdy is, and granted, he didn't put himself in position that he's a starting NFL quarterback, so you don't have to take a discount.
Right.
You can do what you want. But if I'm him, I still think part of me is the 49er system is really good for him. I'm not going to say it makes him,
agree.
But I'm going to say it's really good. I would probably take more of, instead of going for like the Deshaun and Dak deal, and I don't know his financial history, I would do more of a Daniel Jones thing.
RIP. It's officially over.
Yeah, that's over. But I'm just saying, but at that time, you know.
No, but I'm saying today we announced it's. So if Daniel were to play and get hurt, we'd have to roster him next year for $25 million, so we're just not playing him.
Because they say the same thing kind of what Denver did to Russ last year.
And what the Raiders did to Derek Carr.
Okay.
Because, like, if you're playing and you get hurt while you're playing, they have to put you on the roster next year. So, basically, it's the end of the Daniel Jones era.
Yeah.
We had a playoff win, though.
Yeah, but one of those deals I feel were like, I think they did that perfectly, too. That, we never give them long-term. We're going to give them enough money to feel like NFL quarterback. It was like 30, 40 a year. Well, it was 4 for $160. It wasn't like them.
Yeah, it was announced. But like to me, it's like you do the quarterback equivalent of what they gave Brandon Ayuk.
Okay.
Like, you know, it's like Brandon, like Ayuk, if he wanted to go get more money, he could have gotten it with another team. But then in the end, the decision was, all right, do I stay here like where they're good to me? Like, yeah, I'm paying a little bit of a discount or I'm taking a little bit of a discount, but. You know, I think it was like 4 at $110 or something like that.
Like Brock got more respect than Daniel, but I don't kind of how we was talking about the tagger, the coach from Oregon. Sometimes we can overvalue ourselves. If Brock was a full free agent,
he's the last pick of the draft.
Yeah, I'm not sure anyone, you know, even with that, because you know what Brady was, but I'm not sure anyone just give him a full max like some of the. Top, am I wrong, maybe? Because people do really need quarterbacks.
I never doubt the Raiders.
Somewhere there's a potential playoff team.
Someone can pay up. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Herd, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story. So tonight we get our first look of the primetime Dallas Cowboys with Cooper Rush. Get ready next week on Thanksgiving. We get Tommy DeVito versus Cooper Rush on Thanksgiving. The NFL can't flex the Bengals Cowboys out of Monday Night Football because there's already been too much work done on the Simpsons alternate cast. So we're forced to watch that. My thanks to Jason Munns for joining the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast. Shortly after the program ends, for Dennis, for her, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.